The following episode was recorded before March 2024, and while the content shared is valuable and useful, it features Rob, who is no longer involved in the business.
This week, we're answering the big important question. What is the meaning of life? No, not really.
No, different question. What's the big question about email marketing? When do you send the email? What's the best time to do it? This is episode one. Shall we start the show?
Let's do it. Rob and Kennedy can get inside your head. Now they can help you see how your subscribers think instead.
It's like we're using our powers for good. You've got to live. Now on. Open range. Hit the spots. Click the rings. Now you've got
the email marketing show. The email marketing show. Here we are, the very first episode, properly styly, of the email marketing show.
Today, Rob, we're talking about how do you know when it is best to send out your emails? Because if you're emailing daily or weekly or whatever it is, you know that some days of the week, some points of the day, you're definitely going to get a better response and a better open rate and actually more buyers than other points of the day. What we all kind of want to know is, what's the best point of the day? What's the magic formula?
First of all, more importantly than any of that, will you please never sing along to the theme song again?
What?
Can you just never sing along to the theme song again?
I was just like Michael Balling up in the background.
We're very sorry, Michael Ball, if you are listening to this podcast. But yes, you are right. That is a big, important question. When is the best time of day to send out emails? And this is probably one of the questions that I get, hear a lot and get asked a lot.
It's on forums a lot, isn't it? Like people, we all want to know, don't we?
The answer is always the same. Everybody always gives the same answer, which is there isn't one.
Yeah.
There'll be one guy every so often who'll stick his head above the parapet and say, 8 p.m. That's definitely the best.
That's definitely the one. That's
arbitrary time. The terrible, terrible answer is that they're officially isn't the best time of day to send out your emails.
There's not, but there will
don't
be...
Don't hang up.
Don't hang up, please. Are you there? There will be a better time for you and your market, which will depend on your niche and how they work in terms of are they employed or do they work night shifts, and also the time zone that you are on as well. But don't worry, we're not going to leave you in any of these episodes of the show with an it depends answers. We're going to give you ways of figuring these things out and give you some really practical advice, because you do need to figure out what you're doing.
That was me mic drop moment.
It's a very flimsy mic.
It's a pen
mic.
Drop for anyone who's watching this on YouTube, but we'll say a pen mic drop moment.
Okay, all right, lovely, I like it. All right, so this basically, we've got two different ways that we're going to share with you to actually figure out the best time of day for you to figure it out. So Rob, do you want to take the first one?
Yeah, so the first thing that you need to do is to test it. Now, we've heard about split testing a lot in sales pages, mm-hmm. and offers and that kind of thing, and even in email. I'm sure there'll be a later episode on split testing your emails, but actually you can split test the time that you send your emails out. And there's a couple of ways to do this. The first one is manually, what I call over a period of time, sort of longitudinally testing it out.
Longitudinally.
Exactly. And it involves a really, really complicated bit of technology.
Did you just use longitudinally in the correct context? I don't know if longitudinally is the right word.
So it's a split testing term that I've used for ages. It's the idea of split testing lots of things.
Just because you made it up a long time ago doesn't make it a real word.
Basically, it's split testing lots of things over a long period of time into the future, as opposed to loads of things at the same time, like you've got a big wide offering.
I see.
That would be laterally split testing.
Lateralistically.
Yeah, lateralistically. So basically, what you need to do is you need to get a really complicated bit of technology that you have to be really clever to use. It's called a spreadsheet. Ooh. And you don't even have to do any of the clever stuff in a spreadsheet, because I can't do any of that. You open up a spreadsheet and you literally decide a time of day and say, this is the time of day from whence, that's the wrong context as well, I'm going to start sending out my emails. So I'm going to send out my emails at, 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time.
Sure.
Every day. And then you do that for a period of time.
So what's a good period of time, Rob, to actually make a decent test of that? Are we talking, obviously it depends on how often you send an email, but how many emails do you want to do it over?
Yeah, so for me, if you email daily, or for some people email like twice a day.
Sure.
If you're emailing like every day, I would be thinking 3 or 4 weeks. Like, I want to get some real data.
So you want to get like 15 to 20 emails through.
Yes.
Okay.
Now, of course, if you don't email that often, that means this might take a little while.
Sure.
So you want to factor that in.
But you might want to like test a different time every single time you go out, and just, obviously if you do like 10 o'clock in the morning this week and then next week you do 10 p.m., then you can't make a total judgment on that, because if it's like a national holiday or there's a special event or like whatever. Okay, sorry, I interrupted. Go on.
That's fine. So you make your spreadsheet, you choose your time of day, and you say, okay, great. For the next X period of time, so let's say 3 or 4 weeks, I'm just going to send out my email at this time of day. Right. And you might want to just vary up a little bit. So it's 11:01, 11:02, but just nothing drastic.
And that doesn't count in that split test?
No.
That's sort of just, around the hour of 11.
Yeah, around the hour of about 11.
Okay.
And you send it out. And what you want to do is every day, you know, pop in, look at your emails from the last 2 days. You really want to give them sort of a full 24, 48 hours period mm-hmm. of time to actually get in and look at their emails.
Right.
And check, make a note of what your open rate was and what your click-through rate is. Now, what you have to be careful of, and of course your conversion rate, if you're tracking that closely, what you do need to be careful of is that you are not allowing, you can't just do it once and go, well, if I sent it out at 11 a.m., then I got this click-through rate and this open rate.
That's my 11 o'clock number.
That might just be a great subject line. You happen to have hit on the nose
there.
Or
a terrible one. You might be disappointed on the flip side. Yeah,
yeah, totally. So make sure that you give that a good test. And then what you do, and you can probably see where this is going, is at the end of that period of time, you go, okay, great, I'm going to choose a different time of day. So, and I would make it quite drastically different. So like 4, 5, 6, 10 hours later, and try that. And then again, do that for 3 or 4 weeks. And what you should notice is that your open rates and click-through rates and response rates will either go quite drastically up or quite drastically down. It's unlikely they're going to stay exactly the same.
How do you feel about the fact that a change is as good as a rest? So kind of like, it might be that the first time you change the time after 3 weeks or 15 or 20 broadcasts, that you might get a spike, but that's just because you've changed. So obviously you'll want to leave a bit of time for that to settle down as well and become its own sort of median.
Yeah, which is another sort of excuse to say, okay, great, let's leave this for a little while. There's another reason to say, let's give it a good solid sure. 3 or 4 weeks. And of course, you really want to try and make sure that your first batch of testing has the same number of emails in it as the second batch of testing and vice versa. You know, like you're giving them the same amount of emails. And then when you get to that one, you want to try again. So maybe go somewhere between the two. Mm. And basically what you're looking for is, let's imagine you do 11 a.m. and 10 p.m. Mm. and you notice that 11 a.m. outperforms 10 p.m. You slowly want to start to move it into the middle somewhere and find where it starts to taper off.
That's a sweet spot.
So unless you are just a genius and you happen to have picked the right time first time, right. 11 a.m., chances are it's going to be somewhere between 11 a.m. and 10 p.m.
And what do you think about the idea? Like obviously, your list migrates. Some people join, some people leave. So after a certain period of time, that sweet spot time might have like changed completely. So that's obviously an ongoing thing, isn't it? So we never end up with a definitive answer of, right, forevermore now, thank you, I'm going to send them out at 4 o'clock in the afternoon, and that's going to work for me forever. So
it sort of depends, because if you look at your marketing, unless you drastically change your sort of source of traffic, that isn't likely to change a great deal, because it's all to do with when people are checking their emails.
Right.
The major problem we have as email marketers is that when you send out an email, within an hour, most people's inboxes, it's going to be nudged a few spaces down by more emails coming in.
Right. So, and our aim is always to be at the very top of that, and they get to us first and they get to read and consume our stuff before they get tired out by everybody else.
Right. So you really need there to be two factors in this. The first factor is how recently did my email hit their inbox when they happen to be looking at it.
Right.
The second factor is, what can I make sure is the case to make sure they're more likely to be looking at their inbox? For example, at 3 o'clock in the morning, I'm not going to be looking at my emails.
Right.
So if you target just UK businesses or just US businesses or just Australian businesses or wherever,
sure.
you absolutely know that, okay, I know that most people in that place are going to be awake between these hours and these hours. They're going to be asleep between these hours and these hours.
And then the test becomes, does my market tend to open their emails before work or after dinner in the evening or just before bed? And then you're sort of figuring out sort of some sort of behavioral things around that market. But
right.
you're pretty much certain if your major part of your list is, let's say, in a particular area, they're probably going to be asleep between midnight and 6 a.m. So yeah. you probably don't want it. You want to skip testing that time.
Yeah, I mean, just to put this
unless,
into context.
Unless, of course, your product is about something to do with that night shift people might work. Obviously, right. sensible mindset needs to sort of rule on all of this. Sorry.
Yeah, I mean, to put this into context, I for ages was sending out emails to a list in one of my businesses at like 11 in the morning. And that just felt like a decent time, but completely arbitrary. Like,
okay.
just felt
you just
like,
made it up one
just
day.
Just made it up one day. I thought, feels like a decent time. It's not first thing in the morning for us,
right.
even though that doesn't include people in the States and that sure. kind of thing. Mm-hmm. And eventually, over a period of doing this exact testing procedure,
yeah.
I ended up sending out emails at 11 p.m. at night, our time, and right. the response rate on those was drastically higher.
Right.
which is like sort of late evening in you know, Eastern time, middle of the afternoon in Pacific time, but still an accessible time for people in the UK. And for me, that happened to work best.
And some email marketing platforms allow you to send these broadcasts out at a certain time, local time, to that subscriber.
And are getting even smarter, because now some of them have the technology to basically shortcut what we're telling you, but the same thing works. Okay. By it will track this for you on a subscriber by subscriber basis. And cool, it will say, oh, well, do you know what, Kennedy, he's opening most of his emails at 11 a.m. We'll send it to him then. But, you know, Rob over there, he's opening most of his emails at 4 a.m. Let's send that there. And you can actually get it to send your emails to each subscriber at the right time for them.
That's phenomenal. Off the top of your head, can you name any of the
services? Infusionsoft's got it.
Okay. Wow. That's one of them.
I'm not sure about any of the others, but
I know you've seen, you definitely seen it inside there. That's amazing. So one of the big keys to all of this, of course, is about finding out the time that people are online, which brings us on to our second strategy for this.
Neatly segued there.
Neatly into there. So one of the ways I like to cheat and do this is figure out when my people are online. So I'm actually not going to use email marketing to figure that out. I'm actually going to go over the blue place, and that's over on the old Facebook, and have a little look at when people who like my Facebook page are actually online. And you do that if you just pop
both of them.
Yes, both of me fans who just are really a sort of tufty blonde hair. So what you do is, if you don't know this already, if you've got your Facebook page that you're an admin on, and you click on Insights, then you go to Posts after that, you'll see that there is a graph, a bar chart, an area chart of the popularity of your page and when the people who view your posts are online the most. It tells you which day of the week they're mostly online and which hour of the day. Now, that's a really good indicator if you see that. So, for example, mine changed recently. I was actually just checking this out yesterday when sort of looking up on doing the research for this app, and I realized mine used to be 8 p.m. And I was like, 8 p.m. is a great time for me to send email. But actually, I checked yesterday and I was like, oh, I've been doing this wrong because I haven't checked this for ages. And it's something like, I think it's like 10 a.m. now. So people are now checking their Facebook during the day at work. Naughty. Naughty.
Terrible.
Naughty. Terrible.
You shouldn't be doing that.
So it's a really good shortcut to do that. So how often should we be rechecking this, do you reckon? What's your sort of insight on that?
I think with yours, because that's a fairly instantaneous thing, whereas the other strategy takes a while. I mean, you could check it once a month, maybe, dial in and just say, okay, great, because again, your audience is going to shift a little bit as you're doing that. So I think you can definitely do that. It also depends on whether people are actively taking time to go and seek out your content, as opposed to just having it displayed in their newsfeed as well. Because if it's just incidental that they happen to be looking at it and responding to it, that's different from if they intentionally are taking time out to go and seek it out. But I think if you check it out like once a month, that's probably going to give you a pretty good insight.
Yeah, and whereas yours is more like an ongoing thing of actually just test these emails going out. And would you affect the same sort of delivery on your sort of follow-up automated campaigns? Because obviously in automated campaigns, most of us just do the delay thing, which is wait 2 days between when they join your list and the first email coming out, and so on and so forth. Again, you could affect that based on time, couldn't you? So a lot of people think this is only a broadcast thing. Well, of course, you could make sure to, for example, one of the really good ways, obviously at Response Week, we're all about relevance and making sure that what you say is most relevant to the people you're emailing. So one of the things not a lot of people do is actually delay their campaigns, their automations, to certain points of the day. So you can say, this morning I was thinking about, or this evening, hey, good evening, how are you? And that's a real distinct difference between when people receive a broadcast versus when they get a campaign, right? So if you're noticing this kind of thing where you're testing your broadcast and you think, okay, I've got a certain time of day that's working really, really well, you can apply that same thinking to your automated campaigns. And because we said about the idea of a change being really useful, well, campaigns are the perfect thing to affect a change, to actually put in, do you know what it is? For the first 12 days of my automation, I'm going to send them all an email at the perfect time of day, which I've experimented with over time, which is 8 p.m. Great. But then actually, just to sort of break the pattern, just to do that pattern interrupt, which we obviously know as doing the psychology stuff that we do, you could then put an email that goes out earlier in the day and people go, oh, I don't actually get an email from Rob or from Kennedy at that time of the day. What's going on? And that the idea of breaking the pattern is just as important, I think.
Yeah, there was an interesting thing because obviously you send out your emails every day.
Yes.
And there was five days a week. And there was a period of time. So I'm subscribed to them and Grace here in our office is subscribed to them.
Yeah.
And there was a day, there was a week where you were away on holiday.
Yeah.
And you sent out the emails at the same time of day, but the same time of day has now shifted by 5 hours because you're 5 hours behind us.
Right.
Right.
So yes, if you normally do them in real time.
So you normally send out your emails at like 6 o'clock in the morning.
6 a.m. Yeah.
And so I see them when I get up, not at 6 o'clock in the morning. And then you're sending them out at 6 o'clock Eastern time for a little while.
Yes.
Which means that that's now suddenly 11 o'clock in the morning
in
the UK. Mm-hmm. And so suddenly both Grace and I, while you're away, looked at each other in the office and basically said, oh, you can tell Kennedy's on holiday because his emails will come out at a different time. But the point is it made us react. Like it made us go, oh, this is different. I've done.
And also, I suppose, and I hadn't thought about this, and we've never talked about this,
but
it allows the audience to sort of follow you on that journey of, oh, this is the week that Kennedy's on holiday and he's in America. So the times are different. It's sort of, without you having to go in every email, hello, yes, I'm in New York or I'm in Canada or whatever the heck I was. It allows you to the audience to go, oh, why am I receiving that email? Oh, it's because he said he was on holiday and that all makes sense. So it has like that subtle underlying thing of them following you around and understanding what's going on.
Yeah.
We'll talk about the daily email thing in another episode, I think.
Definitely.
That'll be, it's because it's one of the most amazing strategies that I've ever implemented. And I think you bullied me into it in the very first place.
I did, yeah. I pestered you. And you're like, no,
that'll never work.
Yeah, I think the big thing here is don't listen to other people other than us. Don't listen to people who say, you know, send your emails out at this time and you're definitely going to get results. Likewise, don't listen to people, and this is still related to time, don't listen to people who say, oh, well, don't email people if they're, you know, about business stuff on a Saturday and Sunday.
No, that's not true.
Like, I mean, you know, we get emails from people who are in business all the time because they happen to be working late nights or weekends, or that stuff does happen.
So it does happen, yeah. Especially entrepreneurial businesses, like even big businesses who are doing some really good stuff. By the way, if you haven't already subscribed to the show, the email marketing show, make sure you do on your favorite player, or if you're watching us here on YouTube, if you're watching the video, make sure you subscribe to the channel to make sure you don't miss out on a single piece of this. Also, we've got screenshots of all the things we've been talking about in this episode, including a little video that shows you where inside your Facebook page to find the posts thing that I was talking about before, which shows you how to find when people are online, and a whole bunch of other resources over on the blog. Where will I find that, Rob?
Just over at blog.responsuite.com/time, T-I-M-E.
That's where it is. That's where it is. Anyway, it's now time for our listener's question. We've got every single episode that it's just Rob and I here, which is every other episode, by the way, if you're new to the show. So we alternate between a Rob and I episode talking about something like we did today, and a spectacular guest every other episode, so welcome along. Every episode that's just Rob and I, we take your listeners' questions, and if you want to submit your question, you can record an audio question, send it into the show, we'll play the audio as we're about to in a second, and then we'll discuss our answers to your question. You do that over at blog.responsuite.com/show.
You can even do it from your mobile. Doesn't that sound easy?
Can you do it for your mobile? Does it even work? It's amazing. Anyway, so our first listener's question for episode one is from Simon. Simon said,
hi guys, Simon here from Presentation Genius with a completely self-indulgent question about email marketing. Seems to me that some things have got what I'm going to call a long shelf life. Things like marketing that people are interested in for a long period of time. For example, if they're running a business, okay? Other things seem to have what I'm going to call a much shorter shelf life. People are only interested in it now. I've got to have it now because there's a crisis of some kind, such as making a presentation at work, for example. What's the best way of dealing with those things in email marketing where relationships aren't what people perhaps are looking for because they're only interested in things when it's a bit of a crisis to them? Right, cheers, guys.
Makes absolutely perfect sense. In fact, as entertainers, that makes perfect sense to us because, as you probably know, Rob and I from the entertainment world, when somebody wants to hire one of us for an event, they're only interested in hiring us now. They're not really interested in a long-term relationship with us, right?
Even if they might go on to hire us again later at this point in time, it's a problem I faced. I used to sell a stop smoking product.
Yep.
And the problem with that is if somebody buys the product and they like it and it works and they stop smoking, in theory, they're done. I've got nothing else to email them about. So I had the same sort of problem.
Same thing. So in order to answer your questions every single other week, we have to come up with a better phrase than that, by the way.
This is the listener question of the every other week.
This is the listener question of the other week. We thought we have to ask ourselves, put ourselves in someone else's shoes and think about what would someone like some oracle say if we answered them. So that's when we thought of ourselves, What would Julie Andrews do?
What would Julie Andrews do?
So what would Julie Andrews do?
We're going to have to find out, but we have a 2-minute timer to answer that question.
And the time starts now, Rob.
So I think the first thing to realise is the transference of skills. So for example, if you teach presentation skills, which of course you do, Simon, then that's great. And people might need that solution right now to solve that problem so they can make a good presentation and present it well for their presentation next week. Great. They go ahead and they do that. But here's the thing. You have to use email to help them to start to realise that actually those skills are useful in other areas of their life, and therefore they should continue to hang around and listen to you, even though that may not have been their original intention. For example, it may also help them to sell better. It might also help them in their relationships better. It might also help them in job interviews better. It could help them in a whole bunch of different ways in other areas of their life. And if you can use email to point that out with them and build that relationship above and beyond the initial problem they've got, then suddenly they're now going to be a fan of you and everything that you can help them to achieve in all the different areas of your life. So I think you create that sort of long-term relationship around the thing that you can help them with.
Love that. Love that. So for me, the answer is actually a very, very different part of the puzzle altogether, which is a good job there's two of us, really. Otherwise, if we agreed on everything, there'd be no point in us both being here, as in any business. So for me, actually, we've got locked into the idea that email marketing is about the long-term nurturing of a relationship, and it is to some degree about that. But actually, and it is, and you're thinking, by the sounds of your question, Simon, that it's about what happens after you've done that sale or after they've worked with you. But actually, a huge element of email marketing is about the pre-sales process and how you get somebody from being merely interested in you, having read one of your blog posts, into actually turning into a customer in the first place. And that could be everything from the moment you send out a quote. Like, how many people, and I'm surprised at how few people do, I have it in my entertainment business and your entertainment business too, when someone receives a quote from you, they're now in an email marketing sequence, an automated sequence, which follows them up with additional value, testimonials, and social proof. So email marketing is not just for post-sale, it's for pre-sale too.
And there we go.
I think we did it.
We did it.
In time.
That was so good.
In time. So if you'd like your email marketing question answered on the show, make sure you go over to blog.responsesuite.com/show. The link to that, of course, like everything else, is in the show notes, which is at blog.responsesuite.com/time. And that's it for this episode, the first episode. Let us know what you thought. We really love your comments on whether you're watching this on YouTube or you're on the iPlayer or not the iPlayer. That's somebody else's. That's
the BBC.
That's the BBC. We're not on the BBC. We're not on the BBC. No, they wouldn't allow that. Scrap that. We would cut that if we were allowed to. We're not allowed to. It's part of the rules. Yes, but we're also on iTunes.
iTunes.
What I was looking for.
The other eye.
Yes. What else will you find? I think anywhere. Stitcher.
Any of the podcast players. Yeah, go and find us. Leave us a review. We'd love to hear your reviews. We can even give you a shout out and a name check in a future episode.
Yeah, we'll definitely do that. But great. Thank you for joining in. And thank you for joining us. And we'll see you next week on the show. So yeah.
Ta-ra.
The Email Marketing Show.
Oh, well, that was okay, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Episode one. Bad. Nobody bought. Nobody bought. Quick, but. Hit. Nobody bit.
We've done it.